Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is 90.9 WBUR. About 30,000 athletes will hit the Boston Marathon route Monday. And as they do, medical professionals and other volunteers will be there to aid runners who get muscle cramps or sprained ankles or become just plain depleted on the way from Hopkinton to Boston. The volunteers will staff white medical relief tents all along the marathon route. Chris Trianos has been part of those medical teams for nearly 50 years. For much of that time, he has led the medical response. This will be his final year in that role. When he started with a marathon, the medical team consisted of about 50 people. Today, it's 1,900. Trianos is pretty busy right now, but took time to meet with us yesterday right along the marathon route in Wellesley. With all he's thinking about in the lead up to Monday, he's got one overriding concern.
What is always on my mind is the weather. What is the weather going to be on Monday? I think it's starting to shape up towards the fact it's going to be warm. It means we're going to see more medical encounters, the potential of some type of heat illness, specifically exertional heat stroke. One of our protocols is that if someone comes into a tent, if they have exertional heat stroke, body core temperatures ranging from 104 to 108 or even higher, that's a very dangerous situation. They can be unconscious, they can be delirious, they can be slightly lucid. So, you know, their core temperatures are up. And what's going on internally is when you're that hot, your blood is that hot. So what we do is we do ice immersions in all of our course medical tents and our Boston tents.
So ice immersions, meaning this
full body in a slurry of ice water with, unfortunately, a rectal thermometer in the patient.
Wow, that's something you really want to avoid on all accounts.
Well, at that point in time, you're not going to know. But what we do is we have to assess what your temperature is. And with that, once we know what it is, then you're going in the tub, and then we what we call reverse cook you. So we bring your body core temperature down in a controlled manner, and then when you hit, say, 103 degrees, we take you out of the water. And if we don't, then we're looking at life-threatening issues.
I want to go back because you have so much experience with a marathon. And first, I think you were a volunteer first.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yeah. And what year was that? Did you start?
1977 was my first year.
77.
But understand, back then there were only 2,000 or 3,000 in the field.
And now there are 10 times that, 30,000 this year?
Yes, exactly. So things have changed.
What specifically has changed?
Bigger medical team. Definitely the coordination. Prior to 2004, we didn't do as well a job as we do now in the coordination of between public safety and our hospitals. So I work with the Department of Public Health, Office of Emergency Management, and all the different hospitals, their emergency rooms, their emergency preparedness coordinators, so that we're kind of in a seamless approach about what to do when these things happen.
So you would call, or your staff would call, the hospitals to make sure that they have enough space based on what you're seeing during the marathon? Is this like a real-time situation?
Yes. So, I mean, I've used this term well before 2013, that a marathon is what I would consider as a planned mass casualty event. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be able to ramp up and deal with it.
You're saying it's a potential mass casualty event, or it's a real mass casualty event because people are going to get sick?
It's a mass casualty event as it relates to the race because people are getting sick. On a light day for us, we might see about 1,100, 1,200 athletes throughout the course of the day. That's a light day. Now, on a heavier day, we've treated as many as 8 or 9% of the field.
Go back to 2013 and the marathon bombing. I know that the marathon had been used previously as sort of a field training operation or a way to test out what would happen if there was a major incident. I don't know how you could or if you had planned for an incident of domestic terrorism, but what do you most remember from that day?
We never planned and never discussed what would happen if a bomb went off at the finish line. That was never in our lexicon of thought. But the response was heroic by so many different people. How many people from my medical tent went to that bomb site without even being told? That did heroic things, stopped people from bleeding, moved people out of it. They stayed and fought the fight. That's what I'll always hold.
Was that instinct or training?
Instinct. Because what happened was that there wasn't as much, and this was probably my fault, there wasn't as much control as that what needed to happen. And I was always told that when you see a tragedy of that nature, you can't think of it as a chess match. You can't think two or three moves ahead. You almost have to look at it as a checkers game. So it's a move and react, move and react. I was just reacting.
Did anything change in terms of the responses for the coming years? Anything medically in terms of coordination?
I think they changed slightly, yes. I mean, obviously the level of coordination with all the different agencies, the federal and state agencies, I mean, the planning is massive. But, you know, security and terrorism still is a concern, even today. And particularly with what's going on around us in the world and domestically, it's always in the back of our mind. It hasn't and will never go away.
Does this play a role in why you've decided to step down from the position?
No, absolutely not. No.
What is it?
How about 48 years of doing this, 27 or 28 in the leadership role? And the way I look at it, I've accomplished everything I've set out to do. So maybe it's time.
You ever run a marathon?
Hell no. Sorry. Not a chance. No, I'm not a runner. I'd rather take care of runners.
So that's not what you're going to be doing in retirement.
No, ma'am. Not a bit. No.
Congratulations. And thank you so much.
I appreciate
your
time.
Yes. You're amazingly calm, given what's...
My phone's gone off three times since I've been here, so... But all good.
That's Chris Troianos. After this year's race, he's stepping down from his role leading the marathon's medical relief teams, but he will stay on as a volunteer.